Morning. It's wonderful to be here this morning, but I want you to take a moment and just look around. That's what wonderful. So many people's here and showing our love for God, letting the devil know that no matter what he throws at us, he's not going to separate us from our Heavenly Father. And that's what we need to show in our lives and teach our children and just let everybody know that we serve a wonderful Almighty God. And I tell you, it really encouraged my heart because I missed a lot of y'all family, my family members here, and I'm glad to see each and every one of you back. I'm just waiting to the day that we can actually shake hands, hug necks, and really show our appreciation. Go ahead and turn your Bibles with me this morning to Genesis chapter 28. I was reading through, and not surprisingly, but I come across something very interesting. They just kind of caught my eye. I've read it before, I've heard stories, and I just never really thought about it. This time I was reading it about a staircase with angels ascending up and down. How wonderful that would be. And then I got thinking, now wait a minute, burning bush God used. You know, that was pretty interesting. I could see that. I said, but why did God give a vision of a staircase with angels going down there? Why didn't God just say, hey, brother, I got you. Everything's going to be good. Just keep going like you're going in a dream. But no, he gave him this vision of a staircase. So if you would, as I said, chapter 28, and Genesis says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram and to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac said, sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan-Aram, unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Assyrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence. That as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan-Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wife which he had made, which he had, Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajah, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place, and put them for his pillar, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, to the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou last. To thee I will give it to thee and thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south, and on thee. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places. Whither thou goest, will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone which he had put for his pillar and set up and up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, remnant put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And verse 22 says, and the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. It's a very interesting story, because it's interesting to see that certainly can be confusing. Angels ascended up and down the staircase, we see here in chapter 28, verse 12. We have to ask, you know, some questions up. Why would they be doing this? Why is this revealed to Jacob? Well, most important, what does it mean to us? To understand these, I want to back up just a little bit and consider what has happened. As I just read in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 28, that Jacob must leave. With the blessing given by Isaac, though he thought he was blessing Esau, not Jacob, Isaac confirmed the blessing to Jacob and tells him not to marry a Canaanite woman. The promise given to Abraham are going to come through Jacob. We see that in verses 3 and 4. Now with this, Jacob is sent away. Now remember that the reason Jacob must leave is because Esau has openly declared that he's going to kill Jacob once Isaac passes away. In verses, we see in 27, verses 43 and 44. Now Jacob is sent to Padanaram, where he will be able to marry from his family and not from the Canaanites. Now when Esau sees that Jacob is blessed by Isaac and is sent away to marry someone who is not a Canaanite woman, Esau finally figures out that marrying Canaanite women did not please Isaac. We've seen that in verse 8. So Esau goes to Ishmael, takes a daughter from Ishmael besides the wives that he already had. Now Esau is trying to gain favor from Isaac, but this is not the way to do it. Marrying from the Ishmaelites was not the solution. Esau continues to fail to understand God's plan and why not marrying outside of their family is important. Now this narrative continues to emphasize that Esau is rejected. Though he tries by his own wisdom to make the corrections, the blessing will come through Jacob and his descendants, not Esau and his descendants. We see that here in verses 10 through 22. Now Jacob has basically nothing, which is emphasized in verse 11. He's traveling alone. He finds a place on the ground to sleep, and he puts a rock under his head to use as a pillar. Now while he slept, Jacob had a dream. Remember that during the days of Genesis, we see God speaking to people and delivering his will through the dreams. This is not the case today, as we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We now have the Word of God that reveals to us everything about God. It tells us everything that God wants us to know. But at that time, God spoke through dreams and through visions. Now, Jacob sees something rather amazing in this dream. He sees a staircase on earth that leads up to heaven. Not only this, but Jacob also sees angels ascending and descending the staircase that the Lord stood above it. Now this is an amazing scene. But again, what does it all mean? We noticed in verses 13 through 15 that the Lord affirms the covenant blessing to Jacob. Though Jacob has stolen the blessing from Esau, God had determined that the older would serve the younger. Now in his dream, the Lord is confirming the blessing that's given to Abraham, now to Jacob. The land which he is laying on will be the land given to Jacob and his descendants. His offspring will be like the dust of the earth. It will spread across the earth, and through them all the families of earth will be blessed. Further, the Lord promised to be with Jacob wherever he goes, and the Lord will bring him back to this land. Now, God's promises will be fulfilled through Jacob. But God could have, as I said earlier, just told Jacob this. Why does he see the angels going up and down the staircase and the Lord standing at the top? Jacob has a sense of what this means. Now notice his response back in verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 28. When he said, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I said, this is none other than the house of God. It's the gate to heaven. Jacob set up pillars, and he calls this place Bethel, which means house of God. Verses 18 and 19. Now this moment is the beginning of a transformation of Jacob. When Jacob is giving out the blessing, he recalls this moment. Genesis 48 and 3. Now this is the gate of heaven. Jacob then moves on to his worship, devotion, and commemoration. The Lord is in this place. That's what we want to be able to say about the church building. The Lord is in this place. That's what we want to say about our lives, or others to be able to look at and say, the Lord is with that man or that woman. We need to show God's love and the presence in us by our actions and by the words that we need. This is why Jacob breaks out in praise in verse 17. This is the house of God. This is the place where heaven and earth touch. This is where there is access to God. This is why Jacob is moved with fear. This is an awesome place. This is the gate to heaven. Each and every one of us have the opportunity, the ability to open this gate for some other soul. All we have to do is go out and talk to them, tell them about God's plan, share the Bible, study the Bible with them, invite them to church services and all, and help them make it through this gate to heaven. We see but through the threads of God's scripture and everything, that this promise to Jacob was not only to Jacob as an individual, but it was a promise given to his descendants. Verse 28:15 said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. God used this concept when speaking to Israel about how he would restore them. We also see over back in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 10. 41 verses 8 through 10 tells us, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I am chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then we also see over in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 verses. Verses 1 and 2. Where he's going to tell us. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Hearing that God is always declaring that he is with his people, the same that he would be with each and every one of us. This is the hope that comes from God's declaration that he is with his people, that he will always be with his people as long as we continue to be his people. Now, if we turn our back on God, then it's us that's not with God. God's still there for us. Jacob is told this one time in his dream that gives Jacob great hope and causes him to worship and commemorate the place. We are told this repeatedly in scriptures, that God will be with us, that God will protect us. This is what God is saying to each and every one of us when he says that God's Spirit dwells in us. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 16. Romans 8, 9 through 16. Also 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 8. Ephesians 1 and 13. Ephesians 1 and 13. And I can go on with other verses here where God is telling us that He will be with us and that God's Spirit dwells in us. God is with each and every one of us. God will be here for us as long as we don't turn our back and walk away from Him. Don't you know that we are sealed by God and He is with each and every one of us this morning? This is God's persistent message to His people. We see over in the book of Revelation, a lot of times I stay out of the book of Revelations, but there's a lot of information in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. It's going to tell us here that he's talking about John when he saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. When he said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Revelation 21, 2 and 3. Also over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39 is going to tell us that, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 38 and 39. And then if you would turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." How many different ways can God give us the same message that He gave to Jacob? "I am with you. I am your helper. Nothing can separate us. Do not fear. I will never leave you. You are my people. God is with us." Then we see, even over the book of Matthew, chapter 1, 23, we can ask, the question can be asked here: how do we know that God is with us? This is what makes the arrival of Jesus so wonderful. When the announcement of Christ is declared by the angels in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, 23. "The angel said that the virgin will conceive and bear a son. They shall call His name, God be with us, Emmanuel." But it is even more than that. During His earthly ministry, Jesus referenced the scene that Jacob dreams. We see in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 47. John chapter 1, verses 47 through 51. 47 through 51, John chapter 1. When it says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom thou hast no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And He saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John chapter 1, 47 and 51. Jesus has told us over and over in his words, he will be with us. Jesus has proved his love many ways. The greatest way is that God has proved his love as he allowed Jesus to come and give his life on the cross that we can have forgiveness of our sins. Jesus showed us his love was so great that he went through all this pain and suffering. Now we stop and say, well, you know, he's the Son of God. He can do that. He had the power. He could have prevented it. How many times when we go out to do a job or something, we put on protective gloves, protective clothing, whatever, because we want to keep ourselves from getting hurt. How many times when we go out, even just go outside, we put sunblock or something on our kids. We make sure our little ones are protected from everything. We don't even want them, the sun shining on them, to burn them. We don't even want them stubbing their toe or hitting their hands. How do you think God felt seeing his son get treated and tormented as much as he did? But he allowed it because he knew that that was the only way that his other children's life can be spared. Jesus went through all of this because he knew also this is the only way that we can be saved. And why would Jesus tell us, hey, I'm with you, just so far, and not go through something like this? Jesus has went to me as far as, I believe that he has gone as far as he can to let us know he's there for us. So what is stopping us from going out and sharing his love with others? What is stopping us from relying upon his love in our daily lives? Jesus is the place where heaven and earth touch. Jesus is the house of God, the Bethel. Jesus is the link between heaven and earth. Jesus is the temple of the living God. Jesus is where the promises of God are fulfilled. The Apostle Paul says that all promises of God find their yes in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. This is why Jesus said that no one can come to the Father except through him. John 14 and 6. In closing, I just want to say that Jacob saw a dream in Bethel showing him that God was with him and he would receive God's promised blessings. God showed in this dream that there was a place where heaven and earth connected together and where God could be accessed. God revealed that Jacob had nothing to fear because God was with him and would keep him wherever he went. Now, it doesn't say that God's going to protect us from all harm. It doesn't say that God's going to make our life easy for us. It doesn't say that we won't have trials and tribulations. But it says something even greater than that. God said that he would be with us. He would help us through whatever, whenever. But that was not the final fulfillment. Jesus comes and takes all those messages and he applies it to himself and to those who will come with him or to him. Jesus is the place where heaven and earth connect together, where God is accessed. Now, through Christ, we have nothing to fear because God is with us and will keep us. In fact, Jesus was to be called God is with us, to make the promise all the more sure. Jesus is the stairway to heaven, for only through his sacrifice, his resurrection, are we able to come to God and enjoy this blessed, beautiful relationship. This is the relentless grace of God who comes to us and brings them to us through Jesus. And as I said many times before, if God formed us, the devil helped reform us. But Jesus reformed us. So if you need to be baptized, or maybe you've already been baptized, but your life's been broken, bring that broken life to Christ. And we stand and sing our song of invitation.